Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, this is Carl. It is May the 8th, Sunday, 2021, and we have the privilege of doing a Bible study in a nation which is still free to do a public study. And that's what it is. We're all going to be studying, me included. We are going to go to Romans chapter 9, verses 30 to 33, but I'm going to read things before that to set us up for the meaning of 30 and 33. If there is anything that is more time-consuming for the Holy Spirit to get through my skull, my religious skull, my self-righteous skull, one that depended on my religious commitment, my righteousness, my ability to resist sin and temptation, it is this concept we're going to go over today. And Holy Spirit, I don't want to be bold as to ask you for help. This is so seriously important that I need you again to do everything. Put the words in my mouth to say, and I not only ask that, but you give the explanation to people, the people who are taking their day, Mother's Day here to listen to this, or their time after the program, because this is crucial. As I allow this truth today to work in me, after my salvation, in the sanctification process of Romans 8:29, to become more Christ-like. This is the fundamental principle that Paul talks about. Lay no other foundation other than which is Christ and him crucified, and build on no other foundation. Build on no other foundation. For those who are born again, truly, don't do anything to build on it. Don't make yourself better. Submit to Jesus Christ and him crucified and his power and his righteousness, and God will give you all of these things. Matthew 6:33. On anything you're looking for, anything you need, what does Matthew 6:33 say? It says to seek God first and his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We're going to define righteousness. I'm going to define righteousness biblically, because the word righteousness is used in Romans continuously. And unless we have the biblical definition of righteousness, we are going to turn into a religious machine, as was the Jews of Paul's bringing, who his heart was breaking about them because they never submitted to God's righteousness. I can make a religious machine out of everybody very easily by putting the little connotation of we've got to dig harder, we've got to try harder, we can't do anything but have faith in Jesus Christ. But we're going to prove that, because when I heard that originally, it took me years to accept this. I'm going to just read you what Paul says in Romans 9, a couple of verses in 9, 1 through 6. Listen to Paul's pain. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. For I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That means the Israelites, but the Israelites according to the flesh. Why? Because they were not spiritual Israelites, because they weren't following Jesus Christ. They were following religion. They were very church-oriented people, much more than I am. But they had faith in other things in addition to Christ, or other than Christ. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. How could you feel worse about these people than, say, Romans 9:3? I could wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren's sake. I got to be honest with you, folks. There are people that I have pain for salvation and a burden for, but I don't know that I've ever sincerely felt that. I mean sincerely, not just words. And he's saying here, these are not just words. Read what he says there in 9:1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. I mean, Paul is as sincere as you could be. This is how he's burdened for his people. Why? Because they are pursuing righteousness on their effort or man's effort or their church's effort or their denomination or the sacraments that they go through or have gone through, anything other than Christ and him crucified. That's why, again, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 2:2, I determine to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. As I always do, I never give you this number in the beginning of the program. I usually don't. Let me give it to you right now. If you want to call in and just listen or talk, you call in on a toll-free number. It's toll-free regardless of what zip code you're in or zip code, area code. And it's also toll-free even if you use a landline. It's 319-527-6208. And if you do want to join and ask a question or make a comment, just hit the 1 after you get on, and it will show me that somebody's waiting to talk. I will only honestly will continue, but I will only discuss verses pertinent to what we're talking about and the verses we're discussing, because if I don't, we'll never move ahead. Not that I favor one verse over the other. That doesn't even make sense. And again, if you have a question, I will do my best to answer it biblically. If I don't have a biblical answer, you're probably not going to get much out of me, because I don't want you knowing what I think. What I think has already made a mess of my life in the past years, or my happiness or my joy, let me say, because I did not put my faith in Christ. I was trying to combine my ability with Jesus Christ and him crucified, and it can't be done. It's impossible. Read Romans 4:16 through Romans 5:2. You can't do it. So here again, Paul, verse 4, Romans 9. These are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. These are the people of Israel. Not as though the word of God has not had taken none effect, but they are not all Israel which are of Israel. These people were literally like we do today. We have people that depend on their denomination, their church, their family background. They were baptized. They were confirmed. They've gone to communion. Folks, nothing but faith in Jesus Christ will save your soul. And nothing but faith in Jesus Christ can God accept as righteousness. That's the whole bottom line of everything we're doing today. The only righteousness God can accept is nothing to do with Carl's righteousness. It's his faith in Jesus Christ, because Christ was perfectly righteous. God can't accept anything that is not perfect. Does he have mercy and grace towards it? Of course. The cross is the total proof of that. But he cannot accept anything other than faith in Christ as righteousness. Very critical. If we don't show you that biblically, and you do not accept that, the words that I'm going to say today could make people a religious machine, and I want to get people away from the machine, not add to the machine. The machine is what will cause people in eternity and judgment in Matthew 7:21-23. When he says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, And then he said, they said to him, but Lord, Lord, we prophesied, we taught in your synagogue, we cast out demons, we healed people. And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. And we do know from Hebrews 3:12 and from Colossians 1:23, among many other verses in Scripture, that if you turn from your saving faith, you are in deep trouble. In fact, let me read that, because that's a thorn in a lot of people's side. When I even imply that you can fall out of the state of faith, let me read this. Galatians 3:1-5. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ, period. John 14:6. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. These were true believers. Don't say, well, what if these weren't true believers? They are. Listen, this only I would learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Works of the law or anything that Carl establishes or any other human being or any institution establishes that have anything to do with your salvation. Your salvation and your righteousness is based on one thing, faith in Jesus Christ, who is the perfect righteous person. Verse 2 should dispel what I always get kicked back at me. Oh, you don't understand. They were never saved to begin with. This only I would learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit? You don't receive the Spirit if you weren't a true believer. By works of the law or by faith? Are you so foolish? You began in the Spirit. Don't tell me they weren't truly saved, Carl. That doesn't carry water on these verses. Are you now being made perfect by the flesh? You see, the problem is he was dealing with people who were truly born again. They're born again by one thing, by the baptism. And let me read the baptism, Romans 6:3-6. It has nothing to do with water or ceremony. It is the baptism by faith into the death of Christ. Okay? So these people he's talking to in Galatians 3:1-5, they have come through Romans 6:3-6. Let me read that. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? You do that by faith. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, not into water. Don't put your faith in water baptism. Should you do it? Yes, you should. But that doesn't save your soul. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. You see what the baptism into Christ's death by faith is? It is your faith and only one thing to save your soul. Ephesians 2:8-9. You are saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one could boast. Saved by grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one could boast. The works of their own is what the people who are trying to combine religion and their righteousness with righteousness in God by faith in Jesus Christ. You can't combine them. They don't mix. They're polar opposites. Therefore, we are buried, Romans 6:4. We are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even though we also should walk in the newness of life. This is all a spiritual inside transformation. The physical act of baptism is you declaring that Romans 6:3-6 has happened to you. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and we are when we believe, and we trust in nothing but Christ and him crucified for our salvation. 1 Corinthians 2:2. Christ and him crucified. I want to know nothing but Christ and him crucified is exactly what Romans 6:5 is saying, and 6:4. 5, if we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Meaning God will make us righteous. It will be God's righteousness in us, not righteousness that Carl spent, oh, heavens, almost 60 years of my life before I realized, even as a believer in Christ, there's nothing I can do to add to what he's done. Did I understand the John, what is it, 19:31, where it is finished? Yeah, I could explain that. Oh, I could explain that the third time I went to church, but I didn't have a concept of what it meant spiritually. Verse 6 of Romans 6, knowing this, our old man is crucified with him. That is the baptism by faith into his death, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's the inward body of sin. Unless your inward is changed, your outward cannot last. It can only be through discipline. And discipline and willpower cannot go very long. We all know that. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is the baptism you've got to be baptized with in order to be born again, to truly be saved. And you only attain that by true righteousness. Now, back to Galatians chapter 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, you're now trying to be made perfect by the flesh? That is the major mistake I see in most ministries. People who are truly saved, for the few who truly are, and I can't judge that, for those who are truly saved, truly born again, of the Spirit, by faith in Christ, by true righteousness. They are being instructed in most places of church and Bible studies to follow man's gizmos, man's discipline, man's ideas, man's favorite agendas. No, 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 please get away from man as your first resort. A lady I know very well has told me in the past, and it sticks in me because it's true. I am subtle. I'm going to be as unsubtle as I can. You go to God for everything. He will direct you to man. He has given men spiritual gifts to help each other, as Ephesians 6:12 says, for the building up of the body, preparing us for the works of the ministry, for the edification of each other. That's not Ephesians 6:12, excuse me, 4:16, I believe. Just bear with me. This is too important for me to make a mistake on my memory. No, it isn't. It's Ephesians 4:12. The spiritual gifts were given for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, and the spiritual gifts are given to individual people. And when were these gifts given? 2 Timothy 1:9. Let's follow this all the way through so there's no discrepancy. 2 Timothy 1:9, God, the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Jesus Christ before the worlds began. So I'm not saying don't go to people for help. You're hearing what I didn't say. You go to God first. You go to prayer. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you. It's a promise. He will. And I'm not only talking about wisdom for a particular situation you're faced against. I'm saying during your day in conversation with God and thoughts about God, ask him, just keep me on your path. Keep me seeking your wisdom. Keep me seeking the people you want me to go to. Don't be misled because someone like Carl, who is confused for 60 years, tells you, well, I know the person, or even worse than that, come to me. I've got it all solved. No, 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 no. Paul gets a little more violent than I do in his talk. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, you're now trying to be made perfect in the flesh. Have you suffered so many things, if be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, Does he do it by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Those are questions, folks, you need to ask yourself. Are you being directed to Christ and him crucified only? And how do you have comes by hearing and hearing the word of God? Now, that is something they don't want to normally tell you in churches. Normally, I'm not criticizing your church or your pastor or your Bible teacher. It is pandemic to skip the scripture, pandemic to get people to the point they don't even carry a Bible to church. Those people who have a little more age than some of the others, than teenagers, you think back in the 60s, the 70s, or if you're ancient like me, the 50s, people who did take Bibles. In fact, the religion I was born and raised in rebelled against the Bible, against the Bibles. I'm not going to go into that because that's not even pertinent. It's just that people in those days, the Christian, the Protestant churches were known as Bible thumpers. I wish I could be accused of that all my life. Comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, I know people, Carl, who are hypocrites. They read the Bible, they memorize the scripture, but they don't walk the walk and talk the talk. Folks, there isn't a segment of society you're going to get into where everybody is doing things that they do for the right reason. So don't you, that doesn't carry water either. Man, I love sports, but if I was going to use that they had to walk the walk and talk the talk in the athletic field, I wouldn't be watching ball games like I do whenever I get a chance. I wouldn't be a fan of any sport or anything. I love the industrial world. I love the mechanical equipment. I love the electrical equipment. But tell me that everything that's done in industry is walking the walk and talking the talk that they even say in their board meetings. It is like heck. You know that. So don't throw out because there are some people who are acting as if they're walking the walk and talking the talk, and they brag about their Bible knowledge. Don't throw out the Bible because of them. We know that happens in every aspect of life. You know in yourself in the workplace. There are some people that you can trust 150%. There are others that you can't trust them to do anything. They've always got an excuse, but they've always got in a meeting with upper management, they've always got a good reason. They've always got the cliches to say. Is this about workplace? Heavens no. No, that phase is gone. I'm saying don't get down to pitching the Bible because someone doesn't walk the walk and talk the talk, but they flash the Bible before you. Because in every other fact of our life and our civilization, we've got people who are phonies, but you don't throw other things out because of phonies. All right, back to the conversation. Paul, continual sorrow and heaviness in his heart. I wish that I could be accursed from Christ. That means go to hell as far as I can see. I can't imagine that statement. Why? For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Those according to the flesh. Verse 5, it says here, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. And then he says in verse 6, not all that are Israel are Israel. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. In other words, these people thinking that they were in Judaism, they were the ones that the chosen race to spread the gospel. And they felt it was only because they were born into that. And Paul is saying that has nothing to do with it. Now, Paul is going to go, we're going to go into Romans 9, 30 through 33. And believe me, we're going to do that. But I'm going to ask you, just bear with me one second. I got to do something. Thank you so much for allowing me the interruption here. Where I am, it is cold. It was like 37 degrees this morning, and I drove to church and back, it wasn't snowing, but the snow was hitting the windshield, and of course when it hit the ground it was just water. But I'm overzealously dressed doing this, and I'm burning hot right now, so I got that off. Okay. So you see Paul's passion and burning, because all those people that he knew intimately and through his religious background, and now he is trying to give them the gospel that faith in Jesus Christ is the only righteousness God can accept. And he's distraught in Romans 9, which we did last 2 weeks. He's distraught because they can't see that. Now, let me, before I do one more thing, I'm going to define righteousness the way the Holy Spirit defines it, not the way Carl or a commentary or a work guide or a study guide does. I'm going to let the Bible define righteousness. This is the key point. This is the absolute key point. We're going to go to Romans chapter 3. We are going to read verse 19 through 23. And you just pick up on Romans 3, 20 through 23, Galatians 2, 16 and 20, Philippians 3, 9. You're going to have in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 verses. We're going to define the righteousness God accepts, and that is only by faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Don't add or subtract.
Hello, Carl.
Hello there. So we don't add or subtract anything. I haven't gotten to 9, 30, 30 through 33 yet. I'm building up to it.
All right.
I'm going to define the righteousness, folks, because when we get into Romans 9, 30 through 33, Paul is going to give a dissertation that the people of Israel sought righteousness, and they never attained it. That doesn't mean they didn't have enough discipline. It doesn't mean they didn't have enough self-effort. It's just the opposite. They did not seek it by faith in Christ. They sought their own righteousness by man's manipulation. So let me define righteousness. Just bear with me for 7 verses or 8 verses. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, Romans 3, 20 through 23, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for the by the law is only the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God means the only righteousness God can accept in a human being, is without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. For those who say, oh, the Old Testament never talked about Christ. It never talked about anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Never, ever.
Amen.
Right from the first lamb that was ever sacrificed by Cain and Abel. The very first two people to be born naturally that we know of in this world. One sacrificed the lamb without spot or blemish as a covering for sin. The other one did it his way. The one is in with has been with God in heaven, in the current heaven, not the final heaven that is to come. He's been there for 6,000 years. Cain, who did it his way and offered God what he felt was the right sacrifice, ignoring God's righteous demands, he has been in the burning side of Hades, defined in Luke 16, 19 through 31 for 6,000 years. It's our choice. You can say you don't understand, you don't agree with what I'm saying, you don't believe what I'm saying. Folks, I'm giving you these verses, and I want you to write them down. If you don't understand what the righteousness that God accepts, you're going to be floundering around for years like I was. Don't make the mistake I've made. I'm not a totally altruistic person. That if I can help someone from going into the same rat holes I've been in, I want to do it. Even the righteousness of God, Romans 3:22, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. There is no difference. You're going to see why the Israelites in Romans 9, 30 through 33 did not attain righteousness. It's not because they didn't work for it. It's just the opposite. It's because they depended only on their ability and not on faith in Christ alone. The righteousness of God, Romans 3, 22, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all men that believe. There is no difference. All men, Jews, Greeks, heathens, Gentile dogs, everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, that's one definition. The Bible always says, confirm everything in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So we're going to go again. And then after we're done defining righteousness, Raven is going to read Romans 9, 30 through 33 and tell you why Paul was so grieved in Romans 9, 1 through 6 that he said, I would even be a curse for my fellow countrymen because not all Israel is true Israel. True Israel is those who are faith in Christ, not those who have come from Jewish blood. Are there ones who come from Jewish blood who have faith? Yes, there are. But that the fact that they were born in the genealogy or physical, biological lineage of Abraham doesn't make them righteous. It's faith in Christ. But let's go to Galatians 2:16. And then we're going to go to 20. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Works of the law means keeping the law. But by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by works of the law. I can't say it any better. I'm not even going to explain this verse. This is self-explanatory. The only righteousness God can accept, and your righteousness must be exceed that of the Pharisees. Remember he said that? Christ did?
Yeah.
What he means is his righteousness. No man can have that righteousness. It has to be the righteousness that God, by grace through faith, gives to us when our faith is in Jesus Christ alone. Then God gives you Christ's righteousness. Only Christ's righteousness is going to get to heaven.
Amen.
The faith of Jesus Christ, even we who have believed in Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of the Christ and not by works of the law. By works of the law, no flesh will be justified. And that's religious laws. That's even things that are biblical. Don't make a law out of baptism, out of communion, out of denomination, out of church, out of church growth, out of your ministry. Nothing. Nothing, nothing is the object of your faith but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Folks, you want to do it, fine. You don't want to do it, that's your decision. But don't say the Bible doesn't say it. That's the point I'm trying to get. I'm not trying to get people to say that Carl knows what he's talking about. I'm getting you to try and understand what it took me years and years and years being in false churches that were preaching what I had to do in addition to faith in Christ. I don't want you to go there. Verse 17, or not 17, we're going to go to 20. This is the man who is totally justified now, and this is a result of a person whose righteousness is his faith in Christ's righteousness, not his own. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, that means human flesh, as a human being, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Your faith and your righteousness means nothing to God. Only the righteousness of God himself is perfect, and that is the righteousness of Christ. How do I get that righteousness? I can't do it. Amen, you can't. You've never been equipped to. You've been equipped to put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. When you do that, God, through grace and mercy, gives you that righteousness, counts you as being righteous. Listen to verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by obeying the law, Christ died in vain. I cannot emphasize these, or I'm not even going to insult your intelligence by trying to explain them anymore. You know what they say. Anyone listening to this program at least understands the English language. You've got to come to that conclusion. If you want to spin your wheels and flirt on the dangerous edge, as the Galatians were that we read in Galatians 3, 1 through 5, I can't help you with that. I can only give you the scripture and pray for you. But the scripture is very descriptive. I'm going to give you another definition of the only righteousness God accepts. Whether you accept it or not, or add to it or subtract to it from it, is your choice. But be warned, it's dangerous. Philippians 3:9, we be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is by obeying the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is of God is by faith in Christ. I can't explain it better than the Holy Spirit. I'm not even going to try. Now, I want you to understand, it's very critical when we go into Romans 9 and read 30 through 33, that when Raven reads these verses and you see the word righteousness time after time, it's very critical that you define righteousness not as anything but your faith is one Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you don't, folks, you are dangerously putting yourself on the precipice of falling in to those in Romans 9, 1 through 6 that Paul is grieving about night and day, and his heart is heavy and continual sorrow, because these people have everything they need. Christ has preached to them, and they rejected faith as the path of righteousness. You have anything to add to that? If not, we'll go to Romans 9, 30 through 33, which you can read.
I couldn't add a thing to it, Carl.
Neither can I. I have a great exuberance of giving explanations, but as I look at this, what kind of a joke would it be if I added something to the Word of God, especially 7 or 8 verses? When she says righteousness, folks, don't think of righteous works. Righteous works are not righteousness that God requires for salvation, for living your life. God requires the righteousness of his Son only and accepts only that. The righteous works follow righteousness by the grace of God. Remember 2 Timothy 1:9? Where the righteous works that we do, God is predestined that if we follow him, he predestined that we should have these works in Christ Jesus. How long ago? Before the worlds were created. 2 Timothy 1:9. Okay, go to Romans 3:9 and read 30 through 32 right now.
Perfect. I was just looking at that. What shall we say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith, but Israel pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness? Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone.
Very simple.
As it is written.
Oh, hold on that. This is very simple, folks. Very simple. You go back to Romans 3 and read 20 through 23. Then go to Galatians and read 2, 16 and 20. And then go to Philippians 3, 9. The only righteousness God will accept is that which is in faith in Jesus Christ. He says it in Romans 9, 30 and 31. And why did Israel not receive that righteousness? Because they did not seek it by faith in verse 32, but as it were by the works of the law. When I am seeking righteousness by faith in Christ, Who is my dependence on? It's on Christ. When I am seeking righteousness by obeying the law, even good laws, even biblical laws, but I'm depending on my righteousness by obeying the law, who is the one that's the object? Myself. It's a disaster. I've been there. Raven knows me well enough. She knows I'm not lying when I tell you that I was led around by these people preaching and teaching, giving me new work guides, new commentaries, new study guides. Are those evil? I never said that. Don't hear, as Jim says, what I didn't say. I am saying that you go to the Bible definitions and you seek them first, and God will give you righteous works. Once you are truly following him by faith, and faith in what he did, not what you or any other church or denomination or man does, you won't be able to have time to do anything but the righteous works, but the works he gives you, per 2 Timothy 1:9.
Yes.
I'm going to have you read Ezekiel to make a comparison in this, and then you can make comments. Yeah, I'm sure your mind is going with them. Okay, do you see here where we have in Romans 9:30-32, we have the heathens, the ones who are burning their babies to Moloch, thinking that was making their God satisfied. Those people, the Gentile dogs, as the people of Israel called them, the heathen.
Yes.
What does it say about the heathen in verse 30? What shall we say? The Gentiles who did not seek after righteousness have attained it. Why?
Right.
Because it was a righteousness by faith they sought.
Amen.
And then he says, but Israel, following after the law of righteousness, did not attain it. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but by the works of the law, by depending on themselves, their own discipline, their own commitment, their own willpower.
Yes,
can't mix any of it. Now, Raven, you and I talked Friday night about something I'm going to go back to, and it's exactly the same thing. Turn to Ezekiel 3, and I want you to read 3-7, and you're going to see, folks, where this is the same problem in the Old Testament. This is God speaking to Ezekiel.
And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate it, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. And he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not.
Here he come. Wait, who is he going to? The house of Israel. They majored in the wrong thing. They majored in their effort, their religion, their religious. They made 633 commandments out of 10. But we're going to get a parallel between Ezekiel 3:3-7, and we're going to get a parallel between Romans 9:30-32. And keep going. You'll see the parallel.
As a professor of mine used to say, they majored in the minors. They worried
about
all the little
stuff
instead of the important things. Yeah.
Now, when Raven reads verse 5, you're going to see where they were majoring in the minors. But get the connection between Ezekiel 3:5-6 to Romans 9:30-32. Go ahead.
For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel.
Which were his people that Paul said that they had all the prophecy. Bear with me a minute. I'm going to read you what Paul said about the house of Israel in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, here's who Paul talks about in Romans 9, verse 4. They are the Israelites to whom pertaineth all the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and all the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came? These are the people of Israel. the people he's talking to in Ezekiel chapter 3 are the same forefathers of the people he's talking to in Romans 9. And it's the same problem. They want to depend on man's effort rather than Jesus Christ for righteousness. Go ahead.
Amen. Where was I here? Oh, but to
go
the house of Israel.
Not... Five is a good one. Five
okay,
again.
For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you.
Okay, Raven, just what you just said, they would have listened to you. Go
right.
Real quick to Romans 9.
Okay.
And read verse 32.
Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone.
Do you see the connection? The Israelites?
Yeah.
From Ezekiel's
yeah.
time, from Adam and Eve's time. They did not
yeah.
believe that righteousness was through faith in Christ. That's
yep.
why Cain did not want to sacrifice the lamb, the spotless lamb, pure inside and out, which was a symbolic of this coming Savior, Jesus Christ. They wanted to attain their own righteousness. And even in Ezekiel, he said, if I was sending you to a strange land, they would hear you and believe. That's exactly what Raven's reading in Romans 9. What then? The Gentiles in Romans 9:30. The Gentiles which did not seek righteousness have attained it. The righteousness by faith. Do you see the connection? Do you
yeah.
see the connection
yeah.
with Romans 9:30 and Ezekiel 3, 5, and 6? It's unmistakable. You can't miss it.
It's that stumbled at that stumbling stone. It's that willing ignorance, refusal to hear it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, refusal to hear it. They did hear it physically, but they've willing
ignorance.
Right. That's a perfect comment. Willing ignorance, folks, is willing ignorance and ignorance is a difference between heaven and hell. All of us who are going to heaven are going to be ignorant. But the ones who are willingly ignorant have looked at this and they understand it and they say, I am not going to submit to it. Heaven
it's
and
that,
hell.
That it's that picture of the little kids stuffing their fingers in their ears and going, la, 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 la. You know, I'm not going to hear it.
Perfect.
I'm not gonna hear it.
Perfect
yeah.
example. Perfect example. Connection between Romans 9:30 and Ezekiel 3:3-7, is that connection made?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Read, you haven't read 7 yet. All right, read 6 and
no,
7 of Ezekiel
7.
3. These are the
okay.
same people, folks. These are the fathers that his heart is broken for.
So at the end of 6 there, he said, surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house
that's
of
the
Israel
Gentiles.
Will, right, yes, but the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted.
They will not listen to God. Do you see
right.
how? And he's telling them the same thing in Romans 9. He's telling us the same thing in churches today who honestly believe that baptism by water saves our soul, who believe that saying the sinner's prayer is enough, who believe
you know, there's
that following
a place,
the... Go
there's
ahead.
A place, Carl, in Scripture, in the Gospels, where Christ says, to the apostles, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to preach to all the nations, but I'm telling you, they're not going to listen to you. They wouldn't even listen to me while I'm here. I can't remember where that's at.
Well, hold on. Ezekiel, he says that constantly.
Right. But this is what I'm
saying.
But
you're
saying
in the New Testament.
Yeah,
well,
I'm
no, there
the
is, right? But it's a part where he says, wipe the dust off your feet, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, but he says, listen, he says, I know, you know, you have to go out and you have to preach to them, but you have to understand, you know, listen, that for the most part, they're not going to listen to you even when I'm here. You know, they're crucifying me. They won't even listen to me when I'm here. You know, I'm here right here on earth with them, and they won't listen. I can't think of where that's at. But
oh, you might. But the point is, whether you think of the verse or not, that is a matter of memory. The fact is, you can't deny that righteousness cannot be attained by any effort of man. It is totally by surrender, totally surrendering and accepting the righteousness of Christ living in you. There is a word I believe vicariously, V-I-C-A-R-I-O-U-S, and then leave, vicariously. Vicariously means you let someone, it's like an actor. The last movie I saw was a movie about, in fact, who was the kid, Ronnie, the little Ronnie on that Andy Griffith show, Ron Howard.
Ron Howard
now is an adult. Ron Howard made a movie. And this movie that Ron Howard made was called Rush. And it was a true story of Formula One auto racing. And in the story, the actor who played Niki Lauda, who recently died, who was the Formula One Ferrari driver who was burned beyond recognition in an accident and still came back and I believe won a championship. But this guy, this actor who played the man's part, went over and with permission from Niki Lauda, actually spent 6 months with him every day just so he said that he wanted actually Niki Lauda's mind and Niki Lauda's attitudes and goals and priorities. He wanted to absorb them into his own to play the part. Now, I'm not giving a message on acting, but I'm saying that what the righteousness that we can only attain is by faith in Christ when we're willing to surrender our ability and ask God to break us and remake us into Christ's righteousness. God will do that. He will do what this actor on a movie was talking about. In other words, this actor wanted the personality of this Niki Lauda to vicariously, which means substitutionally, work in him. And that's what actors do. I've read numerous actors who've gone into, lived in foreign countries so they can get the culture, they know the mentality, the phrases.
Yep.
Folks, we've got to translate this. Go ahead, Raven.
That's why he says deny yourself. That's why he says deny yourself.
Amen. 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 Yep. That's exactly right. And what does he say after deny yourself?
Follow me.
What does he say?
Deny yourself and follow me. Take up your cross, right? Deny yourself
now, take
and follow
up the cross, folks, does not mean that you take up pain and suffering. Because when I'm putting my faith in my pain and suffering, I am now putting my faith in the works of man, which is religion. When you take up your cross, it means you are now taking all of the attributes of Jesus Christ totally and allowing him to live through you substitutionally or vicariously. You're doing like this actor who portrayed this Niki Lauda. He wanted a Niki Lauda's thoughts even, his priorities.
Yeah.
The only thing he wanted was Niki Lauda's wife. But everything other than that, Niki Lauda was divorced at that time. Everything of that, he wanted to feel, think, and talk, and believe just what this is an actor. But he got that symbolism that I read of that man. If only people would look at Jesus Christ that way. He died on the cross to give you that ability. And yet we're following danglings like Carl who tell you what you've got to do according to his idea. Come on, man. Like who Keyshawn Johnson said on ESPN, come on, man. We got to get real, folks. I'm not criticizing baptism. I'm not criticizing church. I'm not criticizing commentaries. I'm not criticizing the sinner's prayer. I'm saying you need to surrender to the righteousness of Christ. None of these good things that I just said, they're all good. The sinner's prayer is great. Baptism is great. Communion is great. Church attendance. But your faith is in Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness God can accept. Why? Because it's not stained with carnal sin. When Carl offers his righteousness, it's stained with sin. God can only accept the Christ righteousness, which is perfect.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got things to say.
No, I didn't. That's all. I didn't have anything else.
You sound better today. I'm going to tell you something, Raven. When we were coming home from church, there was snow hitting the windshield. You're better off staying
there. Is that right?
I mean, it's
What's
miserable.
That?
It is.
Oh,
it's
I'm not
miserable.
Going. I'm not going out anywhere else tonight.
Okay.
No. No.
All right.
I'm
now remember how? Remember, Raven, read Romans 9. Here's how we started off. Go back to Romans 9 and read 1-3.
Okay. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
Okay, now go to Romans 10 and read 1-2. He's
brethren,
still moaning. Paul is still here. It's the same topic Ezekiel was talking about. Go ahead, 1-2. It's the same problem.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Okay.
For they being
Wait, 1-2. We'll get into that. My heart's desire and prayer to God. This is a continuation of Romans 9:1. For Israel, as they might be saved. How are you saved? By grace through faith, not of works of your own, so no one can boast. That should put an end to people who believe that you're saved by different ways in different time periods. No. Romans 8:4-3. Read that, Raven. This was 450 years before the commandments were even given. How was Abraham considered righteous? Because he obeyed the commandment? Impossible. They weren't given yet. Read Romans 4:3. We got to get away from the heresies that are being taught and run around in some churches and Bible studies that I've attended.
I'm going to start in 4:2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Okay, let me put on your catcher's equipment, your hockey goalie's equipment. If you are not accepting these verses about righteousness and what they mean and what God will accept, you are calling God a liar. Why do I say that? I didn't. Read Romans 4:3 again. I didn't call you a liar.
So what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
The reason I'm not calling you a liar, the scripture is. You don't believe God. The Holy Spirit, per 2 Timothy 3:16. And 2 Peter 1:20-21, the Holy Spirit inspired every word in the Bible, every word, Old Testament, New Testament, has to pertain to the Old Testament when it was written 2,000 years ago. So I'm not calling you a liar. I'm probably not the one most wonderful person in the world, but don't blame me. I didn't write this stuff. This pertains to me. Not accepting this and accepting man's wisdom over the Bible's wisdom when I was in a supposed Bible teaching church and Bible studies is what's caused me to almost give up my Christianity, so-called Christianity, 4 years ago. So-called. Okay, verse 2. I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge.
Yeah.
What is knowledge? Let's define that like we did righteousness. I don't want seminary's definition of knowledge. I don't want man's definition of knowledge. I want Raven to read 1 Corinthians 2:2. This is the only knowledge that God will accept. Read 1 Corinthians 2:2. Let's use biblical definitions to interpret Bible statements.
All right. For I determined not to know thing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
And that's knowledge. That's all Paul wanted is knowledge. He wanted to know Jesus Christ and him crucified, nothing else. That's like Matthew 6:33. If you want anything, seek God and his righteousness and his kingdom. His righteousness is faith in Christ, and all these things will be given to you. Raven, let's go to Philippians 3 again, and we're going to define this knowledge and see where Paul, who had more knowledge than anybody, is saying that all that knowledge is garbage. Philippians 3, I want you to read 4 through 9.
Okay.
Listen to her. Listen to this. This is the knowledge, the only knowledge Paul wanted.
Okay. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless.
Hold on. He's saying here that he was, hold on, Raven, he was blameless concerning the righteousness of obeying the law. How many of us can even say that?
Right.
Go ahead.
But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ.
Do me a favor and read, but loss, I want you to read this definition of the knowledge, and this is the only knowledge that is going to save our soul.
But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord.
Do you see now when we go to verse 10? Hold on. We go to chapter 10 of Romans. Do you see when he says Romans chapter 10, verse 2? They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no other knowledge that God wants you to have. Now, understand, I'm not saying that he wants you to be an absolute moron to everything. God does not want your spiritual life built on knowledge of anything other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm not saying it. The Bible is saying it. I want you to take that knowledge. That's why I say, folks, righteousness, knowledge, we can't define them in man's terms. We can't define them according to commentaries. Go to the scripture. The Holy Spirit defined them. Why would you want someone else's definitions? They make a religious machine out of you by these things. Knowledge. That knowledge is... Hold on. That
James
knowledge is Philippians. What, hold on. Bear with me. That knowledge,
okay,
folks, in Romans 10:2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That knowledge is defined by 1 Corinthians 2:2 and Philippians 3:8. Nothing else. Nothing else. Go ahead.
James 1:5 tells us where to get all of our knowledge.
Yeah, we've read that earlier before you got on, but go ahead, read it again.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Knowledge, wisdom, ask of God.
Got it. But we prefer to go to man. Why? Because that's part of our fallen nature. Just start off with the definitions of knowledge that I've given in the Bible and the definitions of righteousness, and you will not be misled. I was misled for years, and it almost got me to the point where I said the you-know-what with it. It's a four-letter word, H-E double hockey sticks, and I mean that sincerely about 4 years ago. Don't get to that point, folks. It ain't worth it.
Amen.
Okay, now what's the result, Raven? Go to Romans 10 again. What's the result of not knowing the knowledge according to God's knowledge, which is faith in Jesus Christ? What is, they have a zeal, but it's not based on knowledge. It's not based on the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's based on man's knowledge, man's religion, man's commitment, man's willpower, man's resolve, man's following church-made rules, man's even following reading the scripture. If I read the scripture four times a day and Raven only does it once, I can't say I'm more righteous than she is, but Raven and I both were in a church in the last 2 years where they made a discipline and charged $130 to take part in the program where you are going to read so many chapters of a day. And this was going to do something for you. That can do nothing for you, folks. You can read the Bible from cover to cover. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified, you have a zeal for God, but not based upon knowledge. Am I saying it's wrong to read X number of chapters a day? No, read 5X chapters a day for those who have had algebra. Read 10 times it. But it is not just your human knowledge that does anything. And these people that are religious and these people in churches, folks, that may not be saved, they are being misled thinking by their zeal, their knowledge, their commitment. They'll get up and do this. They'll be the first ones to show up. They think by that alone that they're going to go to heaven, folks. It's got to get deeper than that. Please don't believe me. Read the verses prayerfully. Apply what Raven just read in James 1:5. When you study, ask James 1:5. Ask God to give you the wisdom. Please don't rely on me. That has been my sin, relying on people that had the degrees, had the background. They had the pedigree. And I come to find out 4 years later that they weren't even quoting the scripture. They were defining terms in their means.
Amen.
All right,
amen.
Verse 3 of 10.
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness,
their
have
own,
not
that's been, religion.
Yes, have not submitted to the righteousness of God.
The righteousness of God is only by faith. We gave you that in the beginning of the program, Romans 3:20-23, Galatians 2:16-20, and Philippians 3:9. Folks, don't believe Carl, please. You'd be. Why do I want you to be somewhat of a spiritually crippled person as I was for 10 years? I want you to go to the scripture and let the Holy Spirit, through Raven's James 1:5, through prayer, him to guide you. But don't give up on this, folks. Don't quit. You have got to have the righteousness of God, not your own righteousness. And the only way you attain it is by faith in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense?
Oh, amen. And you know, that word submitted is so important there, Carl. That's the big thing.
Without submission, there is no salvation.
That's right.
Without submission, there is no salvation.
That's right.
That's
people don't
exactly
want to do that.
But Raven, that's exactly what Paul's been talking about since Romans 9:1.
Yeah.
He went through 9:33. In fact, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 3 through 7, are saying the same thing. If I were to send you to my people, Israel, who obey all the laws, they won't hear you.
Right.
Does this
yeah.
make sense?
Oh, perfect sense. Absolutely. But that
okay,
comes right back down to 5.
Oh, that's the whole problem. Wait a minute. Go to Isaiah 14:14. Let's go to the root cause of all of our problems. All of our
all
problems.
Right.
This is the root cause. I don't care if you're working on a spiritual problem, you're working on a physical illness, which I am right now, or physical problem, or if you're working on a race car having a vibration in it, or a 2,000 horsepower mill motor in a steel mill that's shaking itself apart. Until you find the root cause of the problem, you ain't going to solve the problem. So here's the
yeah.
root cause
perfect.
Of the problem. It's the word Raven just used.
Yes, yeah, perfect. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That battle, folks, is why we have pride. And there's only one
yeah.
cure for pride. It is not religious observance. The only cure for pride is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is the only cure. And as Raven has said many times, Galatians, if we read Galatians 2:21 again, Raven, that's perfect.
Okay.
I think it's 2:21. Yeah, it is. 2:21.
Right, yeah.
It's perfect.
Hold on there.
Perfect.
I do not set aside the grace of, excuse me, the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain.
The law meaning anything of human effort rather than total faith in Christ alone. Ephesians 2:8-9. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works of our own, so no one can boast. You see why religion is so predominant, even in the supposedly Bible-believing churches, because it started in Isaiah 14:14. Think of that, Isaiah 14:14. That was before Satan fell. That was before Satan fell to the earth.
Right, yeah.
That's one to pride. I'm just elaborating, Raven, on your statement of pride. That is the root cause of everything.
Absolutely.
But we can't solve it. Read 10:3, and that'll show we can't solve it.
For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God,
which is by faith in Christ and Him alone. You
yeah.
either accept it or you don't. You can't say you don't understand it.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead with 4.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes.
Okay. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That means that those who trust in His righteousness, in His obedience to the law, which was perfect, there's nothing more for you to do as far as the law. You don't have to obey the law. Now, wait a minute, to be saved. Once you're saved, then it's the righteousness and obedience of Christ that comes into you that you want to latch on to. Remember the word vicariously. Now, let me
right.
prove that. Let me prove that. That even as a believer, it has nothing to do with my righteousness. It has everything to do with the righteousness of Christ, the obedience of Christ. I want you, Raven, to go to 2 Corinthians 10:5.
All right?
We're proving here, even as a believer, my righteousness has an obedience, has nothing to do with anything at all. It is the obedience of Christ living in me. That's why you must put your faith in only him, because you can't mix your righteousness with his. You can't mix your obedience with his. God will not take it. Go ahead.
Amen. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Obedience of Christ. This is what taking up your cross daily means. Allow him to live through you. How do you do it? You ask, as Raven said in James 1:5. Well, I've done it and it doesn't happen. Then your faith is not in Christ alone. Ask God to give you the change your mind. Philippians 2:13. You may not even want to have God's righteousness and God's obedience. Read Philippians 2:13, Raven.
Okay.
Don't crucify yourself if you don't want God's will. Neither do I. How do you solve that problem? She's going to read it.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
You even want to do God's will in your own, folks. So if you really say, I don't want to give up sin, welcome to the human race. I don't want God's will in my life at all times, welcome to the human race. You and I can't do it. Another problem with religion and, excuse me, Bible, supposedly Bible teaching churches and Bible studies. I've gone to Bible studies with four pastors, and we didn't even use the Bible. We used a workbook that some man wrote. I'm a fanatic in sports. If I want to read what a man thought and what a man's career was in car racing, I don't go to someone else. I go read the book the man wrote. And this is a stupid example, but why do we go? Why do we not come to God's word? Why do we make up definitions like righteousness and obedience and knowledge? Why do we give man's definition? Why do you need Carl to explain it to you in the Bible? That's the whole. In fact, folks, I believe that if you look at my, what do you call it, Raven? If you look at my site on this program, I always say that this, what's the second statement I make after Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio? Bible interprets itself. Bible interprets itself. I've been saying that for 14 months. 13 months. The Bible interprets itself. You don't need a ding-a-ling like me, who is too stupid until he's almost 70 years old to pay attention to what the Bible says rather than what man's saying. You go to man after, and God will point you to the man that he has determined in 2 Timothy 1:9 that will meet your needs. And let me tell you something else. Raven and I and another gentleman named Jim and Joanne meet on every Saturday morning at 7, and we have a phenomenal study together. It's just unbelievable every week. I don't think it can ever get better, but it does. But the point of the matter is, folks, all of this stuff is not us getting each other better. It is the Holy Spirit working in all of us, and he's the only one. But he has put the four of us together. I don't just arbitrarily go to somebody's office because the church says he's the expert, he's the counselor. I beg your pardon. The Holy Spirit is the only counselor, the only teacher. John 14:26, 15:26, and 16:13. And how do you know what the Holy Spirit says? You read his manual. This is his instruction manual for life. He inspired every word. Why do you go to people? Why did Carl spend 10 years going to man rather than the scripture? Why? I don't want to answer it. I can, but I don't want to. Because I'm not trying to make a martyr of myself. I'm just telling you, don't do what I did. All right, back to Romans 10. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It means you don't have to obey the law of anything. You don't have to do anything to be righteous. You don't have to obey any law to be righteous. Now, once you are righteous, but the righteousness of Christ living in you, it's going to be the obedience of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 10:5, that will help you to obey the law. You will obey the law, but it doesn't get you to salvation. It's a result of. Does that make sense?
Right.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Your
yeah.
obeying
yeah.
the law is
absolutely.
A necessity. God never changed that. God has never changed his requirement. What he has said
Everybody
is you don't come
before the horse.
Exactly.
Everybody
you
wants to
that's perfect. Nope, that's a perfect definition. We're putting the cart before the horse. Exactly. You don't come to God by righteousness, but you are given it to him if your faith is in Christ alone.
Yeah.
And it says here, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Believes what? 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determine to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. You can't get away from it. You may walk away and say, I'm not going to do it. You may walk away and say, I don't believe it. But you can't get away from what the scripture says. Okay, verse 5.
For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them.
Okay.
But the righteousness.
Hold, just 5. 5.
Yep.
You're planning on going to judgment and telling God that you've obeyed the laws, and you're going to count on anything you've done, not just the laws and commandments, but the laws your church has made, the laws you've imposed on yourself, the fence laws you've imposed on yourself, rather than depending on the life of Christ to live through you. You want to go to God in judgment and bring that? You're going to live by him and you're going to die by him, because you're not going to be able to tell God that you did anything right, because he can't accept our willpower. He can only accept the willpower of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. Why? Because Christ is a man dependent 100% on God himself.
Yeah.
He would accept my righteousness. He'd be denying his own self. He has perfect righteousness. If he would accept me obeying the law and my ability, he's denying his own character. That's impossible.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 6.
Once you decide you want to live by the law, then you got to follow the whole law. You're under it.
And you can't. James, okay, back to your James that you like. James says, you can't. You break one law, you're guilty of breaking them all.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 6,
yeah.
Romans 10.
But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above.
Keep going.
Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead.
8.
But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
So verse 6 and 7. Do not get into all these transient arguments we do and all these brain twisters and teasers and all these questions. Can God make something so heavy he can't lift? Don't get into any, and I'm exaggerating. What does it say? The word is right near you, in your mouth, in your heart. Read 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19. This is the reason that the word is in you. All you've got to do is ask the Holy Spirit for guidance first, not man.
3:16.
She's going to give you the reasons why you ask the Holy Spirit first.
Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20,
Christ,
for you were bought at a price.
Okay. No, go ahead. I didn't realize you were there. Okay.
Yeah, therefore, you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
What she is saying, do you not realize the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Do you not realize that this was the whole reason Christ died on the cross, was pay for sin, so that we could have the Spirit dwelling in us? Do you not realize that the whole book of Acts began with Acts chapter 1 and 2, which are Pentecost? Do you not understand that the whole point of Pentecost was not the gifts that the people had? The whole point of Pentecost was because the gifts were a result of the point of Pentecost. The point of Pentecost was the Holy Spirit would dwell in you. Verse 8, what does it say? The word is nigher, right near, even in your mouth, in your heart. The word of God boasts the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, who is the word. That actually dwells in you. That was the point of Pentecost. The gifts that we had, the tongues, the healing, the miracles, the interpretation of tongues and all that, those gifts were given by the Holy Spirit, but they could not be given until, per Ephesians 4. Read Ephesians 4. It's like verses 7 through 16. When Christ rose from the dead, he gave gifts to men. He didn't give the gifts to men until he rose from the dead. And 50 days after he rose from the dead, roughly, we have Pentecost. Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's in you. Why are you now going to try to find Carl's wisdom over man's? What you do is you go to God and you ask God, as Raven said in prayer in James 1:5, and you go to Matthew 6:30, and then you go to whoever God sends to you. Jim and Joanne and Raven and I were put together. We know each other. We don't even come from the same part of the country. I'm from New York City. Joanne is from up near Augusta, Maine somewhere. Raven's from Toledo. Jim is, he's from Swanton. But all of a sudden, we're put together. But it's a work of the Holy Spirit. But he determines who's together. Okay, we're out of time, Raven. We've got just less than a minute. Would you say a prayer thanking God? Because, again, folks, we're going to continue this next week with verse 10 of Romans 10. And we can't ask for guidance. The Holy Spirit has got to give her and I the words to say, and you have to be. He has to give you the understanding. This is too critical. Don't depend on me or Raven. Go ahead, pray.
Father, we thank you so much for giving us this time together to share your word and to study your word in the Spirit. And we just ask that you remind us as we go through this week that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, that we carry the Holy Spirit within us, and that everywhere we go and in everything that we do, that you are with us, and that we be reminded that you are there, Lord, and that we are taking you with us, and so that you would remind us that no matter what we do, that you are there, and we need to remember that how important this is, Lord. And we just pray that you be ever in our minds as we go through, and that we are in constant prayer. As
that's
we're asked
word,
to do so.
We're out of time. Folks, thank you for listening. We will be back next week. Raven, thanks.
Amen.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.